doing infinitely more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. Each week during Lent, we will have a word, a theme, and the word for this week on our banner is seek. What do seekers seek? Nicodemus was a seeker for truth and for life. He was a man of position and status and had lots of security. But was he willing to risk all that? He was not sure. So he comes to Jesus hidden in the night, in the shadows of darkness. Sometimes, like Nicodemus, we do not know what is missing, what we are seeking. Sometimes we don't recognize the hidden presence of God, grace working in our lives. In this gospel, Jesus wants to reveal hidden things. We sing these words as our gospel acclamation each Sunday during Lent now. I will show you hidden things you have not known. So Jesus wants to reveal to Nicodemus a hidden thing, the spiritual nature of being human. And he wants to reveal the true nature of God, unconditional love for all humanity. Jesus knows that Nicodemus, that each of us, is capable of deeper spiritual communion and development. But this potential often goes unrealized. We tend to attach ourselves to the surface of life. And Jesus invites us to go deeper still. Jesus reveals that he belongs to the world of the Spirit and offers it to Nicodemus. He invites him to see with the eyes of the soul and not with the eyes of flesh. Being born from above is like the wind. It has its own intentionality. Being born of the Spirit is not an event. It is the power of God living within us. We are invited to open ourselves to God so God can whisper hidden things. That is the sound of the wind of the Spirit in us. It brings freedom and hope and helps us move beyond feeling isolated or fearful. The following story by theologian John Shea beautifully illustrates this gospel today. I know a man who was born twice from the same woman. At first blush, he would seem to be the man Nicodemus was looking for. However, in the final analysis, he is a fortunate man who heard the sound of the wind in his mother's voice. One day he was driving his mother to a funeral. She had been to many funerals, her husband, her brothers, and those of most of her friends. She was out-surviving everyone she knew, but not without pain and grief. She had lost most of her money, suffered a heart attack, and had bouts of uncontrollable crying. This was not untroubled old age. So as they drove along, she was calmly talking about her own funeral. She had instructions to impart, want things done a certain way. Suddenly, she said, I am giving up on fear. I am giving up on fear. Her son looked at her, their eyes locked. This was a deeper conversation a conversation they had never quite had before. So he returned looking at the road. Then she said, "Everybody dies. Nothing is left. I'm giving up fear." And she said that as a matter of fact. No big deal. Just a matter of fact. "I've tried it," her son said. "It's not easy." What he really was thinking was that it's impossible, because he had been haunted by fears. Fear of sickness and death, fear of the future, fear of losing money, fear of losing his job. In one moment of insight, though, he saw that fear completely structured his life, webbed him around, and was the principal motivator of almost every thought and every action. So he looked across at his mother. She was beaming. He was incredulous. But they never talked about it again. Yet his mother began to change. She was never one to express her opinion, but now she spoke her mind on every topic. And she did it without anger or righteousness or pomposity. This was not someone who was finally letting loose. Her words were wise and spoken directly from her heart. She showed understanding and tolerance of human frailty, and so much so it stopped people in the middle of harsh criticism. Her presence became something infinitely gentle and remarkably strong. People wanted to be around her, although they could not say what they took away. They left richer than when they arrived. Her son now also came often, not out of obligation, but because she had become a fountain and he was thirsty. And slowly, it took a little more than 9 months this time, she gave birth to his spirit. It was huddled and frightened deep in the darkness within him. It needed careful combinations of pushing and breathing to allow it to come forward. As long ago she brought forth his body, so now she brought forth his spirit. He was born twice from the same woman. The lesson from this story is a simple message. Hang around people who are filled with the Spirit. Hang around them because they are releasing the Spirit into the world, and this Spirit is contagious. It blows where it will, and we need to get in the way of the wind. We need to become contagious. Instruments of the Spirit for others so they can become free. The freedom and power of the Spirit is a precious hidden invitation that Jesus reveals to us. But suppose you are not understanding this invitation. Suppose right now you have real fear, frustration, hurt, anger, or resentment. Suppose you feel blah, empty, tired. Suppose you have pressures and stress whirling around in your mind. Suppose your heart is heavy, your stomach anxious. Suppose you are living on the surface of life and don't believe you can dive deeper. Suppose you don't feel God's love for you. And suppose your faith has become compartmentalized. The good news of this gospel is that God is prepared to birth new life in you, always, already, now. Yet, we are sometimes like Nicodemus. Don't we all need to move beyond understanding, trying to figure out what Jesus is talking about? We are meant to experience a rebirth. Being born again isn't something that happens easily or instantly, though. And Jesus knows that. Jesus knows that when he says it to Nicodemus, it disturbs him. It disturbs Nicodemus's comfortable beliefs. Yet Jesus invites him and invites us to a radical experience of the living God. Jesus knows that each of us is capable of deep spiritual communion and development also. That is good news. Experience the Spirit within. Know deep within your very self that you are a spiritual being in a human body. That message is radical. The Spirit is a hidden grace that Jesus invites us to receive, to live it and share it. We are meant to be contagious, to say for ourselves, I am giving up on fear. We are meant to let God change us. So what will it take? How do we say yes to God? How do we say yes to rebirth, to hope? One simple way is to relax. Relax. The Spirit is already here. Relaxing, surrendering into God is the path of belonging. Well, how can this happen? One way is to breathe. Breathe into the places within you that are whirling with worry or stress or fear or whatever feels lifeless. So I would like to close this sermon with a prayerful opportunity. Please close your eyes and begin to breathe. Breathe deeply. Breathe slowly. Breathe in the Spirit. Take a deeper breath and intentionally send it into the fear or worry or stress. Breathe in the word God or peace or Spirit. Exhale pain, anxiety, fear of any kind. Breathe deeply of the Spirit and exhale what is not at peace. Surrender and relax in God. Let us spend some moments just letting our breath be our prayer. Breathe deep and slow. Breathe out and long. In a few moments, we will stand and say our creed.